I've been kind of thinking and talking about plastic pollution in the ocean for many years here on Radio Marinara, and we've talked about the big rubber duckies and where they all went, and lately we've chatted a bit about the big rubbish patch in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, the Pacific Guy. And last month I met Dr. Eric Van Siebel, an oceanographer from the ARC Centre of Excellence for Climate System Science at the University of New South Wales. He's been deeply involved in modelling the movements of plastics pollution in our oceans, and he joins us live by phone from Sydney this morning. Good morning, Eric, and welcome to Radio Marinara.
Good morning, Anthony. Glad to be on.
Hey, let's start at the kind of end point, I guess, really, which is this new visualization tool, as I'm going to call it, that you and your team have released on a website called adrift.org.au. So adrift.org. It's all about knowing where, I guess it's all about knowing where your rubber duckies would go if you release them at any point in the planet, but it also has a more serious side, helping us track ocean plastic pollution. What prompted you to develop Adrift?
Well, so we did a scientific study. We used scientific methods and scientific buoys that float in the ocean to study how the different oceans are connected. I am really interested in finding out how water flows around the ocean. And of course, as it flows around, it takes things with it. It takes fish with it, it takes larvae with it, it takes heat with it. But unfortunately, it also takes plastic, rubbish, litter with it. So we were using these buoys, which oceanographers have been putting in the ocean for the last 30 years or so. We've been using these buoys to try and understand how water flows from one location to the other. And so, as we were doing that, I suddenly realized, wow, these buoys, they are just like the plastics. They are plastics that phone home, that we know where they are. It's like putting a GPS on your plastic bag and actually following it around.
How many of them are out there? I mean, this is, in a way, this is kind of oceanographer's rubbish, but it's useful rubbish. How much of it's out there?
Well, at any given time, there's 3,000 to 2,000 out there.
Wow.
But we've been doing it since the late 80s already. So there's almost 30 years of data on ocean circulation. And it is beautiful. You can really nicely see basically how water parcels move around. But you're absolutely right. It is oceans rubbish. It is oceanographers' way of polluting the oceans in a way, although because we get the data back, because it actually tells us something about circulation, we think it's worthwhile.
And so I'm going to have to touch on the big plastic garbage patch in the middle of the Pacific, but I want to move back away from that and talk a little bit more about Adrift. But just because people always ask me about how big is that now? You know, where is it?
Yeah, so in fact, it's not only the North Pacific that has a garbage patch. So all of the five oceans, so the North Pacific, the South Pacific, the North and South Atlantic, and the Indian Ocean, they all have a garbage patch. And what it is just a gigantic area, like five or six times the size of Victoria, probably, or New South Wales.
Five or six times the size of our states.
Absolutely, but
oh, goodness me.
The really important thing is a lot of people think that it is an island. It's not like that at all. In fact, if you would go out there, you would be hard-pressed to see, to notice that you are in a garbage patch. Because most of the garbage, most of the plastics, once it gets out there, it takes 30, 40 years for the plastics to get from the beaches to the garbage patches. Once it's out there, it's really degraded quite a lot already. And what you're left with is tiny pellets. It's like a soup of small plastic pellets, a confetti-style thing floating in the upper ocean. So you don't really see it unless you actually drag a net through it. And if you do that, and especially in the North Pacific, which is the biggest garbage patch at this point in time, you would find more plastic in your net than plankton.
Wow. Now, aside from the fact that, you know, there's a part of me that thinks that would look disgusting, that is wrong, that should not be there, what does it do? Like, what does it actually result in? What's the impact?
Yeah, so, again, if I say there's more plastic than plankton, then that's right. But it also has to do a lot with that there's hardly any plankton out there. So the garbage patches happen to coincide with areas in the ocean that we refer to as ocean deserts. Just like there's deserts on the land where nothing really happens, where there's very little life, where it's just almost dead. So you have deserts in the ocean. And the thing, the winds cause the ocean deserts, the winds also cause the garbage patches to form in exactly the same location. It's the same process that makes them there. But in some way, that's a good thing. The plastic garbage patches being in the ocean deserts actually means that we don't have so much impact on it. Yes, there's a lot of plastics in there, but there's hardly any fish. There's no fishing going on there. Nobody really goes there. We don't eat a lot of fish that come out of there. So the plastic that's in the garbage patches does not do so much harm. Mm. You know where the real harm is? The real harm is of the plastics coming from our beaches traveling towards the garbage patches.
Right.
It's the first few years of the plastic. So if you throw a bottle in the ocean today, then for the very first few years, then it will very much interact with marine life. Then it might strangle turtles. Then it will impact on seabirds. Then it will actually be able to get into the food chain, because we get our fish from areas much closer to the continents than these garbage patches far out there.
Now, you mentioned then, your bottle, your bottled water, your bottle. I wonder, we hear of, ghost nets, and we hear of plastics pollution coming off fishing boats, but it sounds like what you're talking about, this is my rubbish, your rubbish, my neighbour's rubbish that we have been careless with. Is this the majority of it is actually our personal plastic rubbish? It's not somebody throwing something off a fishing boat. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So most of the plastic, 80 or 90% of the plastic or so, just comes from people in the street, right? It is, it's reluctance. It's not taking care when you dispose of your plastic wrapper. And it's not only on the beach, right? People, I guess it's obvious that if you're on the beach and you leave your plastic bottle there, then the next high tide will actually take, or the next storm will take it into the ocean. But it's also in the streets, and especially in Sydney where I live, but I guess also Melbourne, you've got stormwater drains.
Yeah.
And these stormwater drains, they are made so that if there's a really big storm, everything just flushes into the ocean.
So, the thing I kind of like about this in a kind of a weird way is that, often we talk about these big picture global issues, and sometimes it feels like I can literally do nothing about it. I can change my light globe for climate change. This is actually something that we personally can really personally do something about, in the sense of it is my personal plastic that needs to get off the stormwater dry system or off the beach.
Yeah. Oh, that would absolutely help. So just getting more awareness would help. But also pressing your council to make sure there's more litter bins around would really help, in my personal view.
Hey, look, we have to move on. Congratulations on Adrift. It is a great website. You can click on any point in the ocean, then you can, as if you're letting go plastic, and you can watch it move around. How long is the time scale on it?
Yeah, so on the website, we show you the next 10 years.
Okay.
So you click, for instance, near Melbourne, and you will see that the plastic will, or the virtual plastic, basically, will very quickly go into what we call the Tasman Sea, which is more commonly referred to as the ditch, I guess.
Yep.
So the area between Australia and New South Wales. And then for 3-4 years or so, it kind of lingers on there. Slowly from that area between New South Wales and Australia, the plastic kind of leaks into what we call the South Pacific garbage patch.
Yep.
So that's almost near Chile. It's
very far
out there.
I when I let go of one in Melbourne, it was within 7 years there was a bit of it in Chile. I just couldn't believe it. So, Eric, fantastic. I thank you so much for joining us this morning and going through this. Really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Eric Van Siebel, Dr. Eric Van Siebel from the University of New South Wales, the ARC Centre for Excellence for Climate System Science. It's adrift.org.au, Bron. It's a great website.
I'm going to check it out. I haven't actually seen it yet. The thing that worries me about this is that I think this is absolutely wonderful, and spreading the word and getting the information out there and then translating that into action on the, on the part of
individuals.
All tiers. Well, it's government. I think there's this real problem where governments just both at local, in Australia, local, state, federal, and then internationally all point the finger at each other and go, it's your problem. And the UN goes, it's too big for us. And so no one does anything about it.
And,
so.
The bizarre thing about it is it starts with an actual individual.
Yes.
This is not a systematic thing as well. It actually starts with an individual sticking something in a bin.
That's it. Good on Eric for doing this too, getting the message spread.
Now, from one scale of observing system to another, as we all know, the community...